Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. This program concentrates on the technical development of young players. The FFA National Football Curriculum and National Development Plans have been with us for pretty close to 3 years, and they focus very specifically on the technical development of our future generations of young football players. We must become more technically proficient in order to compete effectively at the international level, and the ultimate measure of success is our competitiveness in the World Cup. It's as simple as that. We now qualify through Asia to the World Cup, and it's no great secret that within Asia we have some of the most technically competent and gifted footballing nations in the world. If you saw the recent FIFA Club Championship game between Barcelona and Santos, the Brazilian team, you could only be struck by the phenomenal technical proficiency of the Barcelona team. Now again, this is not news, but just ask yourself a simple question. Are the Socceroos anywhere near the proficiency of a Barcelona? Well, the answer is simple to that one too. No, we're not. We've got a long way to go. But it all starts at the youngest of ages and at the ordinary community football level, the club. Now, there are many parts to the production of technically proficient and competitive young players. It's a process that takes generations, and there is not a day to lose. Two ingredients are clearly essential for this football cake to rise. The first is a proven and detailed technical football curriculum, and the second are properly trained technical coaches to deliver that curriculum. At the present moment, we have little of both. The FFA has begun the process from the top down, while member federations are expected to make it work from the bottom up. Both ends could do better. Much of the attention through the national curriculum has been on that phrase 1-4-3-3, and it's hard to tell at present whether it's an aid or a distraction to the development of young players, because clearly the attention is turning among the technical directors in the various states to the input to young players below the age of 10 years of age. One organisation around the globe, most certainly here in Australia, is at this time, and has been for many years, best placed to service the needs of the FFA and our young players in respect of technical development. It's the Curver Coaching Organisation. I haven't seen anything on a national or global level that comes anywhere near it. Tonight we speak to Jason Lanska. Now, he's the Vice President, Asia Pacific Director of Curver Coaching Asia Pacific, and we have a guest Curver Japanese coach, Katsuji Okubo. Who better to talk to us about the delivery of a football technical education? These people are specialists in this business. They are consulted widely. Their programs highly regarded at the top levels in football, and that includes the Football Federation of Australia. Here in the ACT, Capital Football have signed a memorandum of understanding with Curver for the delivery of technical football education to those young players below the age of 10. The involvement of Curver with Canberra United is in itself a remarkably instructive piece of work, and might well prove to be the secret ingredient that takes this team to a title in the W League. You can bet that every other W League team will be copying this innovation in the next season. The great sadness is that not every young boy or girl in Australia gets to experience Curver technical training. If I had Harry Potter's magic wand, I'd make it so today. This interview speaks for itself. So settle back, a glass of Christmas cheer to hand, and listen. Fascinating stuff. talking to Jason Lansker and Katsuji Okubo.
Yes.
Both of Curver, and of course Jason runs Curver here and in the Asia Pacific area. And Okubo-san is a coach from Japan in the Curver system.
Yes.
Ah, it was a rare treat. But lots of things have been going on in Curver, particularly around the ACT region, that are really worth coming across. But for the listener that mightn't have caught up with our interviews with the Curver luminaries, such not only Jason, but Alfred Galustian, it'd be useful, I think, just to tell the listener, Jason, what the Curver core business is. It's pretty powerful.
Well, yeah, Peter, I guess that the... well, if we focus on Canberra, I think the core business in Canberra for us would be working with children at grassroots level between the ages of 5 and 16. I think there's a misconception, or there was some years ago, that our program was for elite children only, and that's certainly not the case. I'd like to think we have elite coaches. We have an elite curriculum, if you like, or an elite program for grassroots players. And one of my main drivers to ensure this program is accessible to all children. So whilst we work with grassroots players at our holiday clinics, development programs, school programs, Okubo-san's been working at the Lynham High School program, for example, the SEAL program, which has been great for us, through to our academy program, which is our premier program that you're familiar with, and everything in between. So I think that the program, the Curver curriculum, is that flexible that now that we can work with all level of players, and that goes right through now to Canberra United and into that elite female football.
Yeah, I want to get into that program. Yeah. That's terrific. I'd also probably add to that from my perspective. I don't think there is a more developed and functional individual technical football curriculum in Australia than the Curve one. Well, it's an international curriculum. You'd be in any country in the world and you'd be following the same pathway, wouldn't you? Pretty much.
That's right. I think we've got... well, absolutely. I mean, we're in, I think, 30 countries now globally. But that's where we've got established Curve programs. That's not to say there's the other countries that we're not established in that... national coaches and are still, you know, using our program to a certain extent. And a great example is April Heinrichs, who was here recently. April's a technical director for the US women's football. And April and I spoke at one of the sessions that she was conducting, and she said that she's been using the Curver content for many years.
There you go.
Just by watching our DVDs or reading our books. Now, that's not a formal program, but she still uses our content. To the other, the flip side being writing the curriculum recently with the Football Federation Australia, with Alfred, our co-founder, and Harm Berger working together for the skill acquisition program, which we've had a huge input into.
And that's probably a good time to make this point, that if anyone doubted the substance of the Curver program, then it was, in those last few minutes, it's been elegantly illustrated. You're at the individual community level, individual player community level, building their technical capability. You're at the, if I take it through the ACT, you're at the club level.
That's right.
You're also at the next level, which is the Capital Football Federation level, supporting their development programs.
That's right.
We go past that, and on the women's side of the game, you're at the national level with Canberra United, you're part of that process. And then we go even further into the Football Federation of Australia, where Alfred and yourselves have been engaged in developing curriculum and process for the development of skills acquisition coaches and so on. Well, is there any other target you couldn't hit?
Well, it's interesting you say that. We also are in our diploma program has been very well received, and we launched
that.
Coach education's become quite big for us. And Okubo-san can talk about Japan, which is a model in its own right, which is very, very good. But in Australia, the diploma program we launched in Canberra in March this year.
That's right, yeah.
Our next one is in Illawarra in January, and then we've got two more in Sydney and Melbourne next year. Very well received program. I think it's applicable to all coaches, and they're able to transfer the knowledge received at the, or the content received at the course, straight into coaching Division 3 at the local club or a Premier League team.
Yeah.
So it's transferable straight away, and from our point of view, it's very useful. And it's worked very well.
But does it compete with, or is it complementary to the FFA's coach education?
I think it's complementary. I think, in fact, I would say it's a different stream of coaching. And we've always said we've always said that there's two streams of coaching, technical and tactical. And I think to be fair, the FFA focus more on tactical side, and we're by no means experts in that area. But technical coaching, I think we're okay at, and we've certainly gone down that way, that path, and ensured that these courses have been applicable to the coaches that are attending.
The great value in having Curver engaged in this coach education process is simply that, well, if you start at the juniors or youth level, coaches need to be able to solve technical problems. If you don't solve them there, where do they get picked up?
Well, that's right. I mean, we were talking earlier about the game last night, Barcelona and Santos. And I think what a great example of individual brilliance can change the direction of a game. Whilst Barcelona, fantastic team, is no question, but it was the individual brilliance at certain aspects of the game that made a difference in the game.
Oh, pass, receive, move.
Absolutely.
Was there anything better going around? I didn't think so.
No, but the fourth goal that Messi scored when he was one-on-one with a keeper, he did an outside cut with the left and shot. So I think it shows that these things that we teach do transform into a game situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you were to take its effect tactically in that game, was the stat we were talking about earlier. So Barcelona, through that high level of individual skill applied in a team setting, individual then team setting, translates into 71% possession of the ball against a phenomenal team like Santos.
Absolutely.
I wanted to just cover this step up in your involvement from the grassroots. Now, you run holiday clinics, and you're doing those in January.
Yes, we are.
So you should get to the Curver website and pick that up.
Yeah.
You also run a Curver Academy, but I think you call it the Performance Academy now?
We do. It's a Curver Performance Academy, and that's by selection trials in August for ages under 8 through to our senior boys and girls. So we have 9 squads training at University of Canberra, where we've been for the last decade now, believe it or not.
Yes, indeed.
It's taken a while, but we've the Performance Academy trains 2 to 3 times per week, and we have three times of testing. That's its feedback to the parents, which we think is important, that the parent knows exactly where their child's at in their development.
And that's formal feedback too, isn't it?
It's all written, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And they're all assessed by testing. All the students are assessed. They also have a home study booklet they have to complete, and it's signed off by the parent and player. We have guest coaches like Akubo-san. We also had our academy coaches come down from Japan, guest coaches. They spent sessions there. We've had Jitka Klinkova come from Canberra United. We've got Charlie Cook in January, our co-founder and former Chelsea legend. So they get exposed, I guess, to the best that we can provide, because it's our premier program.
And the reason I'm lingering on that is because the Curver program has, for the time I've observed it, and I declare to the listener that my son did a few of these, so I'm not impartial about this, because, and I'm quite happy to say that, because I saw and observed much of this training and the professional nature in which it's conducted and the quality control over all of the squads and the coaching systems. It was just fantastic. And I've yet to see anything else here that calls itself a development program come close enough to it. And perhaps importantly, and I'm editorialising now, but perhaps importantly, is the issue of reporting and feedback. You test, you report, you feed back to parents and player.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely. I think we're accountable, Peter. I think we're accountable to the parent and the child, obviously. But we have a responsibility to provide feedback on exactly how they're developing and how we can improve or wherever else we can assist. You know, you talk about the academy coaches. We've got the extra coach education sessions they attend. We have behaviour management courses they attend. I mean, you know, our academy director, Adrian Haynes, runs a very, very good academy.
Indeed.
And you know, probably as good as I've seen anywhere I've travelled to globally. And it's all here in Canberra.
Yeah. I just think it's a gold standard activity. But if I leave that aside and come through that now, Capital Football have now engaged Curver to participate in their Centre of Excellence programs. Mm-hmm. You've signed a memorandum of understanding. How's that going to work for you?
Well, the idea through Heather Reid and Royston Thomas, the discussion was about the skill acquisition program.
Yeah.
And as you know...
It's 13 and under.
That's right. But really, the skill acquisition program, well, the skill arrears is 13s and or 12s, 13s, and then the skill acquisition program starts at 10s.
Yes.
So we had a discussion, how can we assist in the 10-year-olds coming in at a higher level than they currently are?
Yes.
And... You know, to Royston Thomas's credit, and also to Heather, Heather Reid, they thought this would be a good stepping stone or a pathway in to the skill acquisition program, because it marries in well, because the skill acquisition program, you know, with all things being equal, is Curver content. So they're already starting at 5, 6, 7, 8 with Curver content. We'll run that program once a week, starting in May, in season at Hawker, and those children will then be identified leading into the skill acquisition programs that are run by Capital Football that our coaches won't be involved with. We'll be involved with the under 5 to 9s, really.
Right. I just think this is unarguable, because we will pick up the Japanese program issues, but we know from previous interviews that the technical training that Curver is involved in starts at a lot younger than 10.
Well, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's taken someone like Royston Thomas to say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We've been here for 10 years, Peter.
I know.
No one's asked us up until now.
I know, it's extraordinary.
So we believe we can have an impact with in this. And it also assists Capital Football coaches, I believe, by they can identify at a younger age, okay, those players could be earmarked leading into the skill acquisition, then obviously into state teams.
Yeah. And again, I can reinforce that from personal observation, because... leave my son's experience alone.
Yeah.
I'm able to identify quite a lot of players who were in the cohorts, his cohort above and below.
Mm.
And I see them in football now.
Mm.
And there is a marked difference in many of those players to others who had far less formal technical education in football. Mm. It's observable.
Mm.
And I've never done the analysis, but my guess is that the ACT representative teams would be overrepresented by former Curver Academy players.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was 2 years ago we did a survey, and I think 65% went through our academy program.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's just me looking on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That's just extraordinary. Mm. So we go through that in the Capital Football level, and now let's push through to Canberra United.
Mm.
Now, I thought this was a sensational development. You've got to tell us about it. How did this come about?
What's
the story?
Well, the story is I was...
no one's listening, mate. It's only us here we can tell.
It was actually, it was Heather Reid's idea.
Yeah?
It was her concept, absolutely.
Good one, Heather.
Yeah. I was in Melbourne for work, and I received a call, and Heather said, I'd like you to be involved with Canberra United this year. I believe you can add some value to what our program currently exists. And I have a little bit on looking after Asia, and I wasn't so sure what time commitments would be. So we got back to Canberra, discussed it further, and I said I can commit X amount of hours per week. Met with the head coach, who obviously had to have a buy-in, Jitka Klimkova.
Oh, absolutely.
Who's
a
fantastic individual. I mean, great lady, obviously great background, national team player, coach in America, and obviously done the... so well with the team now. I think eight undefeated games.
Yeah, she's quite a find.
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes to Heather as well. Heather met her at the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. The important thing for me, Peter, was Jitka had bought into this, that she understood that there was a need for technical coaching, even with players like your Caitlin Munoz, who played 60 games for the national team.
Yeah.
So there was some discussion there before we fully committed. And Jitka, interestingly enough, was not unlike April Heinrichs. Jitka has used the Curver content back in Czechoslovakia just by watching DVDs and books.
There you go.
So she had an understanding of Curver, so she was happy from that point of view. So the Canberra United, how we structure the sessions are based on the game the week before.
Okay.
So if I think about the Newcastle United game that was in Canberra, for example, it was there was the decision-making in the final third was quite poor, and we need to improve that.
Mm.
So the topic for that session was improved decision-making.
Yeah.
So, i.e. killer pass...
Yeah.
Possession, killer pass, finishing example.
Because Jitka would would and analyse that, and she tells me she picks three keys.
That's right.
Positive, negative.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then Yitka will call me and we'll go through it all and meet and discuss the session, and we'll base it on the game before, and it's worked very, very well. In fact, I'd like to use it elsewhere.
I mean, that's excellent, because you're fixing issues that, as you go forward. I mean, I'm reminded of this very room we're in now, interviewing Alfred Galustian, and he made the comment to me that it stayed with me on the issue of technical training. When you're young, as we've been talking about the earlier involvement with Curver, you train technically to learn.
Mm.
But when you get older, you train technically to maintain your technical skill.
Yes.
To learn and to maintain. You do it, but you do it for different reasons.
Yes, yes.
Now, my guess is that your work with Canberra United is because of the age of some of those players, but they're both learning and maintaining.
Well, that's right. Like Hayley Rasso was only 17, I think.
Yeah.
Through to, I guess, and Caitlin may not like me saying this, but I think Caitlin might be one of the older players, 26 or 27.
Mm.
So there's a wide-ranging age difference, but also a technical ability. So someone like Caitlin, 60 games for the national team. Hayley has not played for the national team yet, for example. Yeah. Georgie Amendale, another one.
Yep.
Young player who still has to learn the technical attributes. Vis-a-vis someone like Michelle Heyman, who has great natural ability.
Mm.
I was just teaching her the when and where.
Yeah,
she can do it. She knows she can do it. It's just saying when and where to use these skills that she has.
Yeah.
Sally Shippard's another one. I mean,
one of my favourite players.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. And I can go through the whole squad. I mean, I've analysed all of them and gave their feedback to you. The Sykes girls.
Yeah.
The improvement these girls have made.
They have improved, mate. They have improved.
It's absolutely incredible, and it's full credit to them. I've just been there to point them in the right direction. They're the ones that made the improvement.
Yeah, but they make the improvement in a controlled environment, and someone's got to feed them the diet. Otherwise, nothing happens. Your observations on the final third was really interesting, because I thought that in the last game I watched here at home, that in the case of Heyman, I thought it was about decisions.
Mm.
But in the case of Yarmandale, I thought all this blinding speed and coming to a grinding halt.
A great example. Imagine if Georgia had three or four cards, a step over or scissors or a slice, whatever it is that she could use with that speed and that strength.
Yeah.
What a great player she'll end up being.
Yeah, sure. Yes, indeed. She always. And it was interesting, I thought, in that particular game, how Sydney FC responded to her when she was put on.
Mm.
The coach on the other side just took... I thought that battle was pretty much between the coaches too, because the Sydney FC could clearly influence... For their bench had Matildas.
They
got a strong bench,
potentially
they can influence the game to a greater degree.
Yes.
But the moment Yarmandale came on, the Sydney coach took one look at the first run and the second run, and then he switched Garriock over to her side.
Mm. Mm.
And I noticed Garriock defended inside further and kept making Yarmandale make decisions. Mm. And sometimes the decision was to stop.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's been a fantastic experience.
That's great.
I've thoroughly enjoyed working with him. And, Lydia Williams, a goalkeeper, turns up to every session.
That's fantastic.
To improve her ball at her feet, and she's a goalkeeper, so very, very positive. I guess what's been so interesting for me is the Matildas in the squad, Elise Perry through to Caitlin, through to Sally Shippard, Ellie Brush, for example,
yes.
And what a great leader. They've all bought into this. They all want to improve.
Yeah.
And you think that they've World Cups, Olympics, they'd say, well, hang on a minute, I've been there, done that. But no, they want to improve.
Yeah.
So what it's taught me, they've actually taught me that it doesn't matter what age you are, what level you are at, there's always room for improvement.
Absolutely. If I reflect back on our local Premier League, that's the ingredient that is missing time and time again in training, is the... And probably it's got a bit to do with the fact that they only train twice a week usually, but those young players coming through not only need to learn, because many of them haven't, but certainly, it might seem a bit harsh, but it's observable, but they don't get a chance to maintain.
Mm.
So technically some of the ability drops off.
Yes.
So you just see different mistakes starting to appear in a game. But well, that's Canberra United. I think that's sensational. I think you've set the bar right up there.
Yeah.
I reckon that there'll be a few W League clubs copying you blokes.
I think you're right, Peter.
I think it's a guarantee.
Yeah. And I noticed Harry Kuehl was talking about having a personal trainer. So I saw that the other day in the press. I think that the individual coaches, and particularly what we do, specialising in one-on-one, will become more and more prominent within the A League, W League.
Oh, I think it's spot on, and I thought Gulistan got it absolutely right. Mm. You know, when they get up to that higher level, without regard to what they might have going on, they're in the business of doing that training to maintain, and in the process, maybe they acquire something new. So we come out of there, and we head into the FFA.
Yes.
Now, of course, Curver has been engaged decisively for some time by the National Technical Director, Berger, to develop just exactly those sort of products that we've been talking about.
Well, that's right. I think the...
You can talk, obviously, about that.
The skill acquisition program is obviously Han and Alfred, and Alfred being the co-founder, it's Curve Coaching. They've worked on the content for the skill acquisition program, which is delivered twice a year to select coaches from around the country, from the state federations. Yeah. I understand it's been well received. It's been implemented now in all states.
Yep.
And I know in Canberra here, it's up and running. And I understand it's been quite well received. I think the great thing for us is working with our national federation, there's no question. And it gives us that recognition that we can offer something at that level.
Well, indeed, and the output for the listener that might not be completely familiar with what's going on at that level, the output there is skill acquisition coaches.
That's right.
So what we're getting is mini versions in an individual form of Curver influenced people.
Well, that's right. I mean, you look at...
Am I going too far?
I think the prerequisite was a former pro player or a national team player. So you've got, for example, in New South Wales, Milan Blagojevic. What a great example of someone who was a fantastic player. He's attended the skill acquisition courses that Alfred and Hahn have run, and now is developing young individuals in Sydney at a very, very fast rate. So, it's nice to be recognised. That's for sure. It's been a long haul, Peter, as you know.
It has indeed. Look, could I ask you about a level that we've never spoken about in an interview before? But I just wondered. Now's as good a time as any to ask you.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, we had the National Training Centre Challenge. Mm-hmm. So, for the listener that might not be familiar with it, each state or territory has its Institute of Sport, and it produces a football team, for want of a... In our case, in the ACT, ACT Academy of Sport, and NSWIS in New South Wales, and SASSI in South Australia. Now, I thought this year, I didn't see a massive development over the top teams, but what I did see was a consolidation of abilities at quite a high level. So the bottom teams had come up a long way, and the top teams are still playing very well, but they were playing very well before that started. Has Curver had any involvement in the state academies or institutes at all?
No, it's an interesting question. No, Dan, the simple answer is no. No, not whatsoever.
You see, I find that interesting. I'm not putting you on the spot. I just find that interesting, because here we have players who are... Again, for the listener, this was a men's... I should explain this. This was men's football, young men. And each of these state institutes has a playing obligation at the end of the year. They play in the National Training Centre Challenge. And all the FFA and other football glitterati go there as part of the technical assessment group. They're casting the eye over what is the best talent, by and large, they can... see at that age. And the age is really occasionally 14, but 15 and 16, which is really pivotal age group. It seems to me that if all of this other activity is going on, at some point someone is going to have to look across and say, well, what's the technical input going into these institutes?
Absolutely. I think there's...
Maybe they're covering it. I don't know, but I would think...
I'm not aware. I don't know if they are in Canberra, but I would suggest our colleagues in the UK, Curve Coaching UK, work at Stoke City with all the Academy Youth programs there. Newcastle United, I'm aware of. I know Alfred's done work with the at Arsenal under Arsene Wenger with the Academy program. At Bayern Munich with the Academy program, which is the equivalent of, I guess, if you want to put it in that box.
Well, it's a good point of comparison, because those academies hold young people.
That's right.
And in the case here in Australia, It's the first time you see, I think, overall, what might be close to high performance football education. Mm. And because the step after that is the AIS. Mm. If we just keep going, unless you go off to an A-League club.
Yes.
And there's a couple of A-League academies.
Yes.
So I'm just trying to explore this architecture. So it just seems to me that Curva's core business of technical development of players is at all of the other areas, but...
That's right. We're not involved for whatever reason.
I'm not putting you on the spot.
No.
And there were some. My reason for raising this is because the competition itself is set up so that it isn't just the team. I'll say that again. The competition is set up so that each team just doesn't get a win or draw points. Ordinary competition points. Yes. It gets technical bonus points.
Yes.
And a lot of those technical bonus points about how they're playing the preferred system of 1-4-3-3. But there is some reflection. In order to achieve that, there has to be some reflection on technical capability,
yes,
the individual players.
Absolutely.
And cast across those teams, you could see where some of that was deficient and some of it was exemplary.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's not unlike working with a W League team.
Yeah,
we are doing that, so therefore we do have the capability.
Yeah. So I'm wondering to myself as I'm watching this, I thought, well, how many of these young fellows have indeed been to Curva?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know that, well, but it would be interesting.
I don't know either, but I do know I took a straw poll of some of the young New South Wales players who were watching the last game, and I just happened to be standing near him. And the two things, when I was talking to them about their technical development, because they really did play splendidly, was a number of them had been to Curva at some point, and most of them had played futsal.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So by some combination, they had got it.
As you know, I'm a strong advocate of futsal.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just
leave that out there because it seems to me that if there isn't a heavy technical diet going on, and I'm sure some of the players are cracking it by some means,
then
the players underperform.
Yes.
I know you're working in India and the subcontinent. Mm. Football going well there, is it?
Look, I tell you, Peter,
this is scary stuff.
There's so many people, but the best example I can give you is AC Milan, Barcelona, Manchester United, Chelsea, Real Madrid. They're all there, setting up academies.
Oh, get out of town.
So it gives you an
idea.
Is
that right?
Yeah, so it gives you an idea. If they're all there, there's a reason for it. Now,
wow.
Some people may say shirt sales, but I would suggest that it might be just to find that one Indian player.
Yeah.
But the market, it's a huge market. There's a lot of investment in football, as is China. China is very similar.
Yes.
I think in Asia, Japan sets the benchmark, which Akubo can lead into. But the China and the Indias and the Southeast Asia, you know, your Vietnam, you're in Philippines, your Singapore's, etc. All look to Japan for the lead.
Yes.
With India setting up your question about India, I mean, will they be a superpower? Probably not, but just by the vast numbers, football's developing very, very quickly.
They're strong new presence, aren't they?
Absolutely, and if they get organised, they could be, in Asia, particularly a strong nation.
And as I looked at that wonderful game between Barcelona and Santos this morning, I thought to myself, you know, if you were going to take a young team, 14, 15, overseas, would you take them to Asia? Would you take them to Spain?
Look, we do both.
Yeah.
So I have to be honest. We've taken children this year to Rio, to Madrid,
yep,
and then to a cup called the Dynasty Cup, where Ed Hollis has actually coached the girls.
Yep.
We took a Curva girls squad. They did very well. But we also go up into Japan. So for us, for the younger ones, I think Japan's the best place to go because the children are so technically so much further ahead that it shows our children where they need to get to.
And that does it for me too.
Yeah.
Because the teams that we've had here, Nara Ashujo, had come here. High school team, 12th ranked, they said. Unbelievably good. They just opened everyone's mind. That's over a year ago now. The Korean teams we get over here. It seems to me that if you're going to take a young team over for a football tour, you want to go where you're going to be forced to play and play against good, technically competent.
Oh, it's high opposition, there's no question.
Isn't it?
No, yeah.
Well, with us here we have Katsuji Okubo.
Yes.
He's a coach with Curver in Japan. He's been out here working with Curver here in Australia. Okubo-san, welcome.
Thank you.
How long have you been with Curver?
This is my fourth year.
Right.
Yeah, in Curver.
Right. Did you do the coaching course with Curver?
Yes, yes. 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. For education. Yeah.
Now, the reason, Okubo-san, the reason I asked that is because Alfred was the first to tell us about this fantastic coach education program that you have.
Yeah, and Alfred is my master.
Oh, there you go. Right. That's terrific. Okubo-san, why did you become a Curver coach?
Curver coach, yes. When I was 34, my wife and I and my kids went to Germany to watch the World Cup game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before that, I was in a company for sales.
Yes.
But I quit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I watched 13 games for World Cup games.
Yeah.
Include Japan, Australia, Italy's game.
Okay.
And fortunately, I went to a final game of Italy versus France.
Oh, yes. Remember that game?
Yeah, I was there. My favorite is Zidane, so...
Oh, yes. Not the last 2 minutes, though.
Yeah. But my wife is... my wife likes Italian team.
Yeah.
And she's very happy to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm not so happy because I am a Japanese... I like Japanese team.
Yeah.
So... when I was there, I thought Japan should be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the game was very fantastic, and I thought I want to be a part of to come here with a Japanese team.
Mm.
And what can I do? I thought I can teach soccer to kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's helping for Japanese team.
Mm-hmm.
Is very good for, it's my dream.
Oh.
So, I have no experience for to teach soccer to kids. Before that, I have played soccer for 10 years. I have played American football for 13 years.
Kidding.
So, but I have never, I have never experienced to teach soccer. So, I searched how to become a coach in Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I searched a soccer coach. The first place is Curver Coaching.
Oh, good one.
Academy. So, academy is, I have to graduate, I have to study for 1 year to become a coach.
Yes.
So, that's very good for me. Because I have no experience, and the Academy of Coaching is very expensive but very helpful for me.
Yeah.
So that's why I applied to be a coach in Curver Coaching.
Fantastic.
Yes.
You're living your dream.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just now, my dream is going.
That's good. Can't do better than that. Got to live your dream.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So what it shows, Peter, is, and we don't have this, with, he actually believes that he can have an input to his national team winning the World Cup.
That's great.
You ask any Premier League coach in Canberra, and
I don't think that.
No chance.
I don't think that.
I mean, it's actually incredible. Even when I coach my coach, I think we might have an input, but they actually believe that that's a small part he can play. I find it an incredible story.
Oh, that's breathtaking, actually.
Imagine if everyone in our country in football thought that way, or how great the national team could be.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, you guys are doing your... Has coaching been a pleasant experience here in Australia?
Ah, yes, very good.
What are the differences between the young players from Japan to Australia?
Not so different, but Japanese are very good at technique.
Yes.
Yes, and...
They're beautiful, actually.
Yeah, but Australian is more competitive.
Yes.
They have a big, strong heart.
Yes.
Yes, so I think not so different, but a little bit different from technique and heart. Yeah, is a difference, I think.
It's the technical requirement that the Football Federation of Australia is pushing in football, which is why I think Kerver's engagement in the game is so crucial. When do you go head back to Japan?
This Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
Yeah.
And what age groups are you coaching there?
From 5 to 14.
Right.
Yeah. From 5, yeah, very little one. To the mid-school in Australia.
Which age group do you prefer?
I like very young kids because I have a son. That's the same age.
Oh, that's a good motivation. Well done, mate.
They like enjoying. They're good.
Look, I can't let you go without asking you about the Women's World Cup. What a fantastic outcome that was. What did you think of that game? You talk about heart, the Japanese team, heart, all heart.
Yes, so the team was very good because the captain of Sawa, Sawa is very good captain.
Yes.
She has a very good captaincy.
Yes.
Captaincy, and they think about by themselves.
Yes.
Not only coaching.
Yes. But
they talk about their things by themselves.
Yes.
And good communication and good confident. Very confident. And that is because we got win. When they were scored against USA.
Yes.
They think it's okay. We can do that.
Yeah.
All time. Yeah, this
That's
time.
That's the way. They're confident. They believe in themselves.
Very much.
They do. And I thought there were such a contrast in two teams. The Americans, I didn't think as technically capable, but so physical. And they have self-belief too. They think they can just do everything. And most of the time they can. But the Japanese team, less physical, highly technical competent. That game would have been so easy to have lost in that first 20 minutes. But then to come back and bit by bit over the rest of the game.
So they know they are not physical.
No.
But
they play the ball.
Yeah, they play the ball, passing, and no contact is better for
absolutely
them.
So
like a Spain we do many passes.
I was watching a game of football a couple of weeks ago, and an old man, I'm getting pretty old, but this guy's older than me, and I see watching a fair bit of football, and we were watching these two teams play, and one team was physical, more physical, the other team was concentrating on playing the ball. And the Japanese USA World Cup game came back to mind. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking about this, and I mentioned it to him. And he said to me, and I thought it was a really good comment, he said, collisions ruin technique. And I thought, in the end, it's your undoing. If the players have heart, they stay with true to the way they have been taught to play. And I thought that's what the Japanese girls did. Beautiful technique. They stayed with their technique. What ambitions do you have?
Ambition?
In Kerver in football.
My goal is to win the World Cup game for men.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's my goal. Yeah.
Now
so
that's,
I want to be final to watch the game Japan versus somewhere.
Oh. Goodness. Right, that is a sensational ambition because it's founded on the contribution that Curver makes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess there would have been girls in that national team who are graduates of Curver.
Ah, yes, three of them at the national team was Curver girl.
Oh,
yeah,
that's sensational. That's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Should be more of this, more coaches coming out here. Well, you get to curve it, you get the international experience here at home, making a wonderful contribution to football and the technical capabilities of young players. And if you're a parent and they get fed some of this diet, well, you have the pleasure of watching them play later at any level and knowing they can play competently. It's a wonderful thing. And they teach them the right way. The right way. Jason, thank you.
Thank you, Peter, for having us again.
Kubo-san, wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. Arigatou gozaimashita.
Very excellent. In. You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da. Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town.